Morning. Let's all stand together. It's good to see you on this last Sunday of 2020. How many of you are praying that 2021 be a better year than this year? I think that's unanimous this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord we're here today to worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Does your heart sing for the Lord today? Amen, amen. How can we not go through all the blessings that we've had and experienced over the last few days with family and friends and sharing of meals and giving of gifts without really seeing all the blessings that we have? And let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for every meal that was prepared and every meal that we had together with family in the last few days. We thank you for friends and family that have come together. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gifts that were given and received. And Lord, we ask right now that we would remember that you are the greatest gift ever received. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you poured out upon us. Lord, so many of which we don't deserve, and yet you've given up freely. And so, Lord, we ask right now you'd be in this service, pour out your blessings upon it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. How many of you ate too much in the last couple of days? Come on. Come on, right there. Well, I got good news for you. We have a fast coming, January 1st to the 21st. And however, it's not meant to necessarily be a weight loss program. It could help as an extra benefit as you draw close to the Lord. Maybe you won't be as close to your waistband. So, thank you. I was like, man, he's not even back there today. I want to welcome those of you that are guests here. I want to say thanks for coming and visiting with us. If you're a guest and this is your first time here, we'd ask that you'd find the card in the seat back in front of you. And if you'd fill that out and place it in the offering bag that will pass in just a little bit, that will help us to have a record of your attendance, help us to be able to just say, hey, thanks for coming and being a part of our our church family. And we're glad, so glad that you're here. And so how many of you got together with family and friends? Lots of you. Yeah. Yep. And anybody get gifts? Yeah. Anybody get coal? Yeah. David Smith. Okay. So I'm so happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning and so glad to be together. And I have a few announcements for you this morning, whether you're here in the building or whether you're watching online. We want to pay attention to a few of these so that you're where you're supposed to be and knowing what's going on. So first of all, there's no evening service tonight, but we will have our Wednesday services this Wednesday. And so make sure that you are here for those, the youth. We're going to be having, be watching the Christmas movie, The Star, and we start at 6 o'clock instead of 7. So if you're a young person, you're going to come hang out with us in the youth group. You're going to want to be here at 6 o'clock, and I'll be providing some popcorn and some treats and stuff as if we haven't eaten enough already, but we're going to do it one more time. And January 10th through the 11th, we have evangelist Lynn Wheeler coming to share with us, and you're not going to want to miss that. So just 2 weeks from today, and I'm excited to hear him. He actually was the youth pastor at Crossroads where I grew up, and he was really youth pastor of my older sister and then left right before I came into youth group. And so I'm excited to see him, an old family friend. And I know that you'll be blessed by his ministry. This New Year's, which would be this coming up Thursday, we're having our New Year's Eve lock-in for our youth department. And so if you're a young person or if you have a young person that wants to be a part of that, they need to come see me ASAP so I can get them on the list. We've got about 30 or so just from our church that are so far going. And I know we have 5 other churches. So there's 6 of us getting together and probably have 150 or more kids bringing in the new year. And so we're going to be, we have a worship service, we'll have pizza and all that. You can't have a youth event without pizza. And we rented out an indoor soccer facility. We rented out the Blazers ice skating rink. We rented out Premier Sportsplex. And so it'll go from 7 p.m. To 7 a.m. If you're going with us, I need you to be here at 6:30 on Thursday just to make sure we have all of our medical release forms and all that. And then we will leave out of here at 7 p.m. And then at 7 a.m., parents, I want you to come get your kids. Thank you. But I'm not joking. I want you to come get them. And I love your children. However, something about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, something shifts in my spirit. And I go from, so glad you're here, to we're so close to your parents coming. So, no, we have a great time. It's a great event. And it's $25. Which is a good deal for all that we do. But if you're going to go, I really need you to, first of all, get a medical release form on the back table there and come see me so I can get you on the list. Want to make sure we have all the transportation and stuff lined out for that. So we have a lot of stuff happening as we go into the new year. But I want, again, as I have the last 2 or 3 weeks, to emphasize to you to begin to think for yourself here. What am I going to do and I participate in the all church fast? Whatever it may be, as I said before, it could be social media. It could be some type of food. It could be some other thing that maybe takes up your time that you could take that time and spend some time with the Lord. How many know we can never spend too much time with the Lord? And we never walk away from spending time with the Lord going, man, I wasted that time. No, instead we go, that was time well invested, well spent. And as a church, if we would spend time with the Lord, I believe that 2021 is going to be so spectacular that 2020 is going to be so far in the rearview mirror. We'll have just put that behind us and move forward in what God has for us. How many of you know we don't walk in defeat, right? I'm about to get to preaching now. We don't walk in defeat. We walk in victory. And so I don't care what Fox News or CNN or whatever else says. They're talking here in the physical here on earth, all right? But we as the family of God know that that's not what we are restricted by or held by or live our lives by. We live by the Word of God, who says that He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And so I say we fast together as a church and ask the Lord to just pour out His life abundantly in us, and we'll just shine as a light to our community. And they'll go, man, they've really launched forward in 21, and 20 didn't hold them back. That's the testimony I'd love to have. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen. Just remember that any giving that you would like to do at the end of the year here, it needs to be postmarked and in the office by the 31st. And so that's just a couple of days away. And you can see that there in the bulletin. So, hey, we're recruiting some new ones. Awesome. Looking good down there, Trent. All right. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you poured out upon us. We thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. And we thank you, Lord, for a new, renewed emphasis in 2021. Lord, as we fast together, as we pray together, Lord, that you're going to just abundantly pour out your blessings, and we're going to feel the victory in our life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to go back into worship.
Just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Oh, come. Now is the time to worship. is the time to give your heart. Come just as you are to worship. Come just as you are before your God. Come one day, every tongue. You are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come.
Thank you, Lord. We come to worship you, Lord. We come to bow down before you. Come to honor you, to glorify you. Thank you, Lord.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry.
I think that's what the shepherds and the wise men and those who come to see Jesus in the manger, they were worshiping. Holy is the Lord. The Messiah has come. We give our gifts to you. We bow down to you. We worship you. You know, wise men still seek him. Wise people still seek the Lord, don't they? If you're wise, you're going to be a person who fears, honors, and loves God. Hallelujah. I love this song. It's been a while since we've sung it, But it's a song of worship. Hallelujah.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows of the light of you. When I've found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light you. We'll sing it out. Oh, I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You're the reason I live, and I worship you. I worship you. And when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, yes, Lord, and when I've found the joy of reaching your heart, and when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. One more time. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. You're the reason I live, and I worship you. I worship you.
Sing this part.
Oh, I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. You're the reason I live, and I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Just lift our hearts to the Lord, and we just give you praise. We worship you, Lord, today. We honor you, Lord, today. Father God, in my hoarse voice this morning, I still call out to you and worship you, magnify you, and bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, oh God. We worship you. Oh, Lord, where would we be without you, Lord, today? Oh, Lord, you're our hope. You're our strength. You're our peace and our help, oh, God. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your precious Holy Spirit. your word, your promises, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing that part again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord and tell him, I love you. You're the reason I live, and I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, the reason I live is to love you. Time, say that again. You're the reason I live, and I love you, Lord. We do love you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we can call upon you in behalf of those who need prayer this morning. We lift up Shelley Tyler in ICU in the hospital. Lord, touch Shelley right now. I know many have been praying for her, and we just again pray for her this Sunday morning. I pray, Father God, that you give her a Christmas miracle. Lord, that you would just touch her and heal her body. We also pray for Bill Burrows, who's in the hospital. We pray that you touch Bill today. We know he would love to be up here playing, worshiping you on an instrument, Lord, as he normally is. We just pray that you touch Bill right now. Father, thank you for Zach Alphen being here today, and I pray for his dad and his stepmom who have the virus. We just pray that you touch them and heal them and bless them, Lord, this morning. Raise them up. Father, we pray for missionary Grady Smalling, who's having a hip replacement on Tuesday. I pray that you continue to be with Tony Keller, who just had that done. I pray that you would minister healing to both of these men. Father, we pray for the Loyable family as Al Loyable went to be with you. We pray for the service tomorrow at First Assembly in Norman at 2 o'clock, that you would just minister to those there that come to honor and to remember him and respect his life. And we thank you, Lord, for his wife, Sue. We pray for her. We pray, Father God, for other nieces and nephews and sister-in-law and brother-in-law. We just pray that you would just touch this family this morning as they will live life until they see Al again in heaven. We pray, Father God, you just go with us, Lord. We pray for our nation. We pray for healing. We pray for justice and truth and righteousness to prevail in our country. We pray for revival, Lord. We pray for a great move of your Spirit across this land. Lord Jesus, let your will be done, we pray. Thank you, God, for this past year. We just look forward to what you're going to do in the coming year. And we thank you for everyone here today. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. The title of the message this morning is When the Angels Had Left Them. When the angels had left them. This is a Christmas message in a sense, but really it's an after Christmas message. And so, you know, people get all excited about Christmas time and about getting presents. Does any of you get excited about getting presents? How about do you get excited about giving presents? Yeah, they're both wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to give, and it's a wonderful thing to get. People get excited about eating goodies. Anybody eat any goodies the last few days, like some fudge or those? My favorite cookie is the peanut butter cookie with the little Hershey Kiss in the middle. Oh, man, I've had way too many of them. I'm so glad we're starting a fast. It's really going to help me to get back in shape. We get excited about coming to special Christmas services and seeing the decorations up, and we get excited about going and seeing other places that have lots of pretty decorations and Christmas light displays. We get excited about taking pictures with our family or with our kids or with our grandkids in front of the tree. And anybody taking any pictures the last few days? Yeah. We get excited about a lot of different things, and we could go on and on about this season. And I'm glad we have these times. It's a time when we can stop for a few minutes out of our regular routine, and we can get together, enjoy our family and friends, and we can have some meals together and some goodies and some gifts. And most of all, we can be thankful to the Lord, who is the author of it all, who is the reason for it all. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into the world and giving your life so that we could be saved. However, there comes a time when everything kind of goes back to normal. The family goes home, the decorations are put away, and the credit card comes due. The goodies are gone along with the ham, and your schedule resumes. The time, we could say, in a sense, when the angels have left. Hence the title of the message this morning, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. In the NLT version, it says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. In the King James, or in the NIV version, it says, when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. That is the hour of crisis. That is the hour of decision, the time of decision. After the angels leave, what do we do now? When the angels and the singing and the celebration ended, now what do? I want us to look at five things regarding these verses and how it applies to our lives here in 2020. Some 2,000 years after this was recorded, these verses still apply to us today. Amen? So first of all, number one, the setting. The setting. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, we find the setting of what we've just read. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. So that's the setting. The shepherds are out there. It's a normal, quiet night on the Judean hillside. There's tired shepherds and sleepy sheep. And they're just kind of hanging out there. Maybe they were even telling jokes to one another, telling stories to one another. Maybe they even told this joke about the father who ordered a treehouse kit for his son over the internet before Christmas. To his surprise, when the large package came and he opened it, he found it a kit for building a sailboat. Upset at the situation, he called the internet company and said, "You sent me the wrong catalog item. Now what am I going to do?" The representative replied very calmly, "Well, sir, I suggest that you thank the Lord that you're not that fellow out on the lake trying to sail a treehouse." Or maybe they told this joke. One shepherd says to the other, "Did you hear about what the fox said to Samson?" He said. He said, "You can set my tail on fire, Samson, but please include my name in the Fox's Book of Martyrs." Now, if you don't get that, you might want to check out Judges 15:4. It might make some more sense. So we, of course, don't know what they were talking about. They were telling jokes. They were telling stories. They were napping. They were watching their sheep. But one thing for sure, they weren't expecting heavenly visitors. They weren't expecting a choir from heaven. They weren't expecting the lights of glory. And I believe the Lord likes to break in on our mundane things of life at times just to let us know that he's still there, that he's watching over us. He's interested in what's happening in our lives. Like maybe when you get an unexpected card or a phone call or a text or a visit from someone that lifts your heart. Or maybe you really get touched in the Lord at a service. You ever been in a church service where it was just really powerful and you just really felt the presence of the Lord? You left there just so excited because God showed up at a church service. You ever been in a service like that? Maybe a revival service or youth camp. God just was awesome. Well, the Lord watches over us at all times and in all circumstances. And that leads to the second point, not only the setting, but the sensational. In Luke chapter 9, it says, or chapter 2, verse 9, says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Their quiet and normally mundane evening of watching the sheep was suddenly interrupted by an angelic host and an announcement by a heavenly choir. The glory of God shone. Brilliant light displays of heavenly splendor and beautiful music awaken the sleepy hillside of Judea. So sensational that the shepherds had to be told not to be afraid. Looking at verse 10 of chapter 2. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." You ever been in a service, like I said, where you just felt God's presence in a powerful way? And God's overwhelming and inspiring presence has just lifted your heart. And you were filled with great joy and gladness, and the Holy Spirit really ministered to you. And you leave saying, "Wow, wasn't that exciting? What a great service. God really showed up." And you leave with a renewed enthusiasm and a passion to serve the Lord. And the zeal of the Lord is filling your heart and it radiates through your soul. And the giants in your life just seem small, and you could conquer hell with a squirt gun. You just feel that excited and that blessed. I believe that's kind of what happened on the hillside that night. The shepherds felt like that. God was in the house. I mean, the hair was standing on end. They just felt the presence of God and the glory of God. And wow, this is just awesome. And did you hear what they said? They said that a Savior's been born. And they gave him great news. And there was just a wonderful, wonderful time, a sensational time there on the hillside. But then we come to the critical point in the story, and that is number three, we come to the silence. Luke 2:15 and A, in verse A, the first part of it says, when the angels had returned to heaven. Or when the angels had left. When the music was gone. When the choir was gone. That's the hour of decision. That's the hour of crisis. The music is gone. The choir is left. The sky is now silent and back to darkness. You know, it's what happens after you leave an awesome service or a week of camp or camp meeting or a concert possibly that you went to, and you go back to the normal routine. The musicians have put away their instruments. The singers have left the building. The preacher is headed home, and the altar is empty, and the doors are closed. It's silence now. It's like a story I ran across about a young pastor and his wife who felt the call of God on their lives, and they were excited about what God wanted to do with them, and they went to their first church. They had been ordained into God's field of labor, and when they got there, they were so excited, but they encountered some difficulty and some silence. And so I want to tell you their story. It says, the brand new pastor and his wife were newly assigned to reopen this old and aged church. It was very run down and it needed a lot of work. They set a goal to have everything done in time to have their first service on Christmas Eve. They worked hard at cleaning, repairing the pews, plastering the walls, painting, and so much more. They were making wonderful progress and looking forward to their first Christmas Eve service when a terrible rainstorm hit the area. When the rain ended, the pastor's heart sank when he saw that the roof had leaked and caused a very large area of plaster to fall off the front wall of the sanctuary just behind the pulpit, where it would be visible to everybody. There wasn't time to fix it before opening the Christmas Eve service the next day. The pastor cleaned up the mess on the floor, and with disappointment in his heart, he headed home. On his way home, he noticed that a local business was having a flea market type sale for charity. So he stopped in. One of the items was a beautiful handmade, ivory-colored, ornately stitched tablecloth with exquisite artwork and beautiful colors. The thought hit him, it's just the right size to cover up the hole in the front wall. He bought it and headed back to the church. By this time, it had started to snow. As he was approaching the church, he noticed an older woman waiting on a bus. He knew there was no bus coming for 45 minutes, and so he encouraged her to wait in the warm church. She was grateful. She sat in the pew while he got out a ladder and some equipment to see if this beautiful tapestry could redeem the ugly hole in the wall behind the pulpit. When he finished putting it up, he could hardly believe how beautiful it looked. And it covered up the entire problem area. Then he noticed the woman walking down the center aisle. Her face was like a sheet. "Reverend," she asked, "where did you get that tapestry?" And immediately the woman requested that he check the lower right corner to see if the initials EBG were stitched in it there. They were. These were the initials of the woman. She had made this tablecloth 35 years before in the country of Austria. The woman could hardly believe it as the pastor told how he had just gotten the tablecloth at the flea market. The woman explained that before the war, she and her husband lived in Austria. When the Nazis came in, her husband made her leave, planning to follow her the next week. He never made it out of the country and was imprisoned. She was told he was dead and never saw her husband or her home again. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth, but she made the pastor keep it up for the church. The pastor insisted on driving her home. That was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of the city and was only there for an appointment. What a wonderful Christmas Eve service they had. Many from the neighborhood came out. The Christmas songs and hymns and the pastor's message of the humble birth of Christ child and the humble rebirth of the church touched everyone's heart. The Christmas spirit was warm in the hearts of all. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife thanked each person at the door for attending, and many said that they would return. One older man, a man whom the pastor hired to do some painting and came to the service at the pastor's request, continued to sit in one of the pews and stare. The pastor wondered, why isn't he leaving? The man asked him where he got the hanging on the front wall, because it was identical to a tablecloth that his wife had made years ago when they lived in Austria. How could there be two so much alike? He told the pastor how when the Nazis came, he forced his wife to flee the country for her safety. His plan was to follow her a week later, but he was arrested and put in a camp. He never saw his wife or his home again. The pastor asked if he would allow him to take him for a little ride as he answered his question about the tablecloth. The pastor and his wife drove him to the same house where he had taken the woman 3 days before. He helped the man climb the 3 flights of stairs to the woman's apartment, knocked on the door, and he saw the greatest Christmas reunion he could ever imagine. It was truly a Christmas miracle. Joel 2:25 and 26 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. The hour of crisis came when that pastor was so discouraged because of the plaster had fallen of what would he do? What would he do? Looked like everything was going wrong. When the music of the excitement of their ministry and their ordination service and their calling to go to this church fades into silence by the trials of life, what will they do? Like the shepherds, would they go on when the angels have left? Will you go on in the excitement, when the excitement and the sensation is gone from what you have felt over the holidays? Sometimes people haven't gone on. They say, well, that was nice and that was great, but it's over now. Back to life, back to the mundane. The shepherds face the hour of crisis. Do we go, as the angel said? The young pastor faced the hour of crisis. Do I continue, even though it looks like we won't be able to have the service? All of us will also face our hour of crisis as well. Do I go on even when heaven seems silent? Do I go on by faith and continue to believe the word of God that all will work for my good and my family? Do I continue to believe that? And that leads to the fourth point, the submission. The last part of verse 15, after it says, when the angels had returned, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. You see, when you go on and you submit to God's will and follow the Lord's leading, you will find Jesus there. You will find the Savior. These ordinary shepherds became great evangelists. It says in Luke 2:17 and 18, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished. Some of you, listen to this, there's three stars by this statement. Some of you are just one submissive move away from a breakthrough and an astonishing testimony. Let me say that again. Some of you are just one submissive move away from a breakthrough and an astonishing testimony. Just like the shepherds. Just like the pastor, he went on. Well, I'm just going to go see what I can find. And we saw the miracle that happened. The young pastor in the story was used by the Lord to not only revive a rundown church, but to reunite a family. Aren't you glad that he didn't give up? Likewise, God has miraculous plans for you in living a wonderful life in a sometimes mundane world. When the angels leave, don't quit, don't stall, but start following God's plan. And that leads to the last point, the shouting. Luke 2:20 says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Hallelujah. They obeyed and they were blessed. We never go wrong when we obey God's will. Amen? It's never a bad move to do what God tells you to do. To follow God's plan, to do it God's way. To go on when you feel like quitting. It's never the wrong move. They obeyed and they were blessed. They returned to their flocks, their job, and their normal routine of life, but they were changed. They had encountered the Messiah. They met Jesus, and the rest, as they say, is history. We've been talking about these shepherds today over 2,000 years later because when the angels had left them, they continued on in their call to go and seek out the Savior. In conclusion this morning, just like the shepherds in this story and the young pastor we talked about, your life has a setting. Your life has a setting. Where you live, when you live, who you live by, where you work, your talents, your abilities, the things that God has blessed you with, your family, your purpose, your life has a setting. You also have the opportunity to experience the sensational, which is none other than God's amazing grace and God's blessing when we follow him. You have the opportunity to experience the sensational. Everybody that I know that has given their life to the Lord and God saved and followed the Lord, they'd say, that was a very sensational moment. That was a sensational move when I made the decision to trust Christ. Hallelujah. So your life has a setting. You have the opportunity to experience sensational. But you, every one of us in here, and more than one time will face an hour of crisis, an hour of decision where are you going to go on after the angels have left, after the goosebumps are gone, after the doors are locked and the family's gone and the Christmas decorations are down or whatever's going on here. There comes a time when things are just kind of mundane and kind of normal and you think, am I going to go on? The service is over. Wow, what a wonderful service we had. Boy, just the Lord was poured out. But then you go home and it's Monday the next day. You're going to go on with the Lord then? Sometimes there's silence. You have to decide what you're going to do in the silence. Have you ever felt like God was silent sometimes? Like, where is God? Are you even there? And you go on. You go on because you know that's what you're supposed to do. And that the thing is you can submit to God's will and be blessed, or you can turn away and live to regret it. And finally, if you submit to God, even in the time of silence, even in the time of trial, even after the angels have left, you will experience a glorious time of shouting because God will have come through for you. What will you do when the angels have left? Father God, I thank you for your word today, and I pray that all of us continue on with you. Continue to reach out to you. Continue to reach up to you. To continue to seek after you and to search for your will and your plans for our life. Father, I pray for not only these here in the sanctuary, but those watching over the internet today, that you would reveal yourself to them in amazing ways, Father God, in the future. Lord, as they set their heart to seek you and they decide that even though the angels have left and things have gotten back to normal, Lord, I want you to change me and I want to go forward with you. I want to continue to submit my heart and my mind and my life and my marriage and my work and everything, my talents. I submit everything I have to you because you will make it all glorious and sensational. Until we hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we cross over to the other side by way of death or by way of the rapture, Lord, we want to hear you say, well done, because we kept going even at times when we wanted to stop. When the angels had left, when the singing was gone, when the sensational was just back to normal, Lord, help us to continue to follow after you. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, are you here this morning and maybe you've let the things of this life, you've let the silence really even get louder than what it should be in your life, to where it's drowned out everything, even God's voice and God's love. I want to tell you, don't let it drown out God's love. Don't let it drown out God's plan for your life. Say, Lord, I want your will to be done in me. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor Steve, I want God's will to be done in my life in the coming year like never before. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, I urge you to pray this prayer with me right now. Those watching over the internet, I urge you to pray this prayer with me right now. Everybody say this out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my sin. I seek after you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new. I want to follow you the rest of my days until I see you in heaven. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. Make it your prayer. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All I have within me, I give. Every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your... Sing it one more time. Lord, I give you. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord God, bless this rest of this year. Let us go forth out of 2020 into 2021 with a renewed heart, a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. Lord, help us to seek you more than ever before. In your will and your plans for our life and for our church and for our country in this next year. Lord, bless each one here today, God. Go with them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.